You know you belong together, little big pod forever. You're talking on air. Nathan has weird hair. From the very first moment I heard you, I never felt such emotion. From talking on air, I said no, you are there. So hold me in your arms and let me go. I wanna stay forever, closer each day. Graham and Nate.
It's recording. You can't, you shouldn't, you won't be able to hear yourself.
I just have to trust.
No, it is recording. Look, your mic volumes are off.
As I speak to you, it's Tuesday evening, and I am in my dear friend and roommate Sean's bedroom. Sean, say hello.
Hello.
He's lying on his bed. He is wearing clothes. Sound a bit nasally. That's because I had my window open last night, and Delta. There was... It's not Delta.
You have Delta.
I got a chill that came in, and I just have a stuffy nose, so I sound a little bit more nasally. Before I welcome our guest, I'm a little bit early. I'd like to say I set up a Zoom meeting, but Sean, you did kind of help, didn't you?
Symptoms of COVID Delta. Baby.
Can you stop looking up symptoms of Delta? Guys, I have my vaccination on Thursday, so when the podcast is out, I'm getting vaccinated. I am going to UCD. I'm very excited to get my first dose. It's Pfizer, baby.
Most common symptoms are sore throat.
I don't have a sore throat.
Or nasal congestion.
Mom, what are you doing to me? Well, if this is the Delta, I feel fine. We're going to be chatting to Shane today. And I say we. Graham is not going to be here. He's currently in Kinsale having a great time with his beautiful girlfriend, Claire. I should let you know how our double date went on Friday. I can tell you it was a lot of fun. Obviously, I was a little bit nervous beforehand. I was scared that Graham was going to sit there, wasn't going to talk that much. I was trying to think of topics. I was worried about how it was going to end, but the night went very well. Becca is very chatty. She really got on well with Claire. I found myself opposite Graham, and we chatted about the show, the podcast, and life. It was a lot of fun. And, you know, it was one of those nights that organically ended because the bar and the hotel closed at 12. So they told us, guys, you kind of have to leave. So that was perfect because you don't want to milk a dead horse. Can you milk horses, Sean? Can't milk horses. Currently very hot in this bedroom. We're doing a new thing in the household where we're pulling all our blinds down for the entire day just to keep a kind of chilled atmosphere. It looks a little bit frightening when I come home and I see Sean's bedroom because I can see it from a distance and his curtains are completely closed. And I think, did he miss work? Is he depressed? Is he dead? What's going on? So we're going to be chatting to Shane. Shane sent a really long email last week. Now, I can't get into GrahamandNathan@gmail.com because Graham is in charge of that. And I don't know the password. So I wasn't able to read the email again. I did listen to last week's podcast just so I could get a refresher as to what Shane's doing. And I'll be completely honest with you, I've kind of forgotten. I know he's doing sort of Formula One with his friends, and he wants myself and Graham and the podcast to be a sort of partner in his event that I think he's doing in September or October. I'm not too sure, but I'm looking forward to chatting to Shane all about why he got involved, what he wants us to really do. I've been DMing him on Twitter. Really nice guy. He said to me, yeah, we can do it over Zoom. He's just not going to have a camera. So I've decided not to put my camera on, as I think I'd feel a bit too vulnerable that he can see me and I can't see him. So we're both not going to be able to see each other. It's going to be like radio. Do you have any advice, Sean? I don't have Delta. I'm getting my vaccine on Thursday.
Yeah, that does not mean you're protected beforehand.
Stop it. Stop right now. I'm getting the good shit. I'm getting Pfizer. to be honest, I would take anything. And I was ringing up the HSE because I was getting so worried because I registered the other week. But a lot of my friends, they were getting in ahead of me and they're younger than me. I didn't know what was going on. You know, I'm not great with technology. So I started questioning myself. I thought, Nathan, you haven't registered properly, have you? But they did put my mind at ease. I don't know if you've rang up the HSE. They're really nice, but the amount of numbers you have to press to actually eventually talk to someone, and one wrong press of a number and then you have to ring again because you're absolutely screwed. They say a lot though, do you want to chat in English?
Osquelga or Osperla.
Osquelga or Osperla. Yeah, now they don't speak Irish on the phone, but they just say, would you rather speak in English or Irish? Also, another exciting thing that happened to me on Saturday evening, I went to Croke Park and I went to my very first hurling match. It was Kilkenny v Dublin and I didn't wear a jersey. I wore a lime green t-shirt that had a rose on the left nipple. Nothing English or anything. It was a white stenciled rose. But I have to say, atmosphere was great. Hurling is a vicious sport, okay? If you're not aware of it, the guys, they run all over the place. They're hitting the schlitter from far out. Very impressed with the goalkeeper. They can really hit that schlitter hard. There was a few times when there was actually fighting going on. A few punches were being swinged at. And I would then look over at the TV screen in the stadium and I could see that they weren't showing it. Jeez, I'm actually nervous. I feel like this is a date. It's like chat roulette when you log on and someone's completely naked. Shane.
Hello.
Oh my God, we're chatting to Shane. Thank you very much, Sean. Sean, you started this Zoom. You're a good man. Shane, welcome to the podcast.
Ah, thank you so much. It's an honor to be on this legendary podcast.
Oh, you're a sweet man, Shane. I have to say, crystal clear on the other line. Do you have a microphone?
Yeah, I actually tweeted Graham about 2 weeks ago asking for advice on a good mic and... yeah, give me a good old mic. Don't worry, I won't plug them on the podcast, but...
You sound brilliant. Shane, look, now, we read out your email last week. Mm-hmm. You understand the podcast. I cannot log into the email. So Graham was the one that read it. He brought it onto the podcast. I can't remember it too well. I know it's a partnership. I know you're doing a sort of Formula One event. Is it in September or October?
So it's at the end of October in France. Oh, so basically, it's like the Olympics in a way with cars. So, but it's the same. It's the same thing, basically.
Okay, so tell us, what are you doing in October?
So myself and three other teammates will be competing in a four-hour kart race in the FIA Motorsport Games, which, yeah, is like the Olympics. But basically, we'll be doing the karting category. But there will be GT cars and rally cars and we'll be representing our country. But for my little group, we'll be doing a four-hour kart race, so non-stop 4 hours, where we'll do driver swaps. And yeah, so that's basically really it.
Shane, is this the first time you've ever done something like this?
No. This is actually 4 hours seems like a long race to maybe... people that don't really know motorsport, but I've done so many 24-hour races that a 4-hour race is kind of a sprint race to me.
I'm trying to get my head around a 24-hour race. So how many times can you get out of the car and like take a dump or something?
I'll admit now, I nearly peed myself one time.
Shane, you're in a safe place. Don't you worry.
I was very close. Luckily, the race wasn't going our way and I could pull in to go to the toilet. But there was times where I was kind of thinking, do I pee myself? But no, we weren't going for a good position. But when it's going good, you just hold it. But it doesn't become a problem unless you get dehydrated, which I was. So usually your stint could go from 1 hour to 1 hour 30 minutes. So it can be tough.
And it's not just you doing this event. You're part of a team. Can you name and shame these people?
For now, that's confirmed is Ephemelia. And my other teammate confirmed is Paul Morgan, who actually you guys have spoke about on this podcast. He's the Tinder guy.
Oh, is that Paul? Oh, my God. How's Paul getting on? Has he found that girl yet?
No, it's we were thinking of like doing a big search and like putting up stuff on social media, but he's just, I don't know, he's given up. It's a lost hope.
So, Paul, he's a single man. Are you single as well, Shane?
Yeah, we're both single.
It's tough out there. At least you have each other, because it's horrible when you're by yourself. How have you found being single in a pandemic?
Nah, I'm used to it. It's nothing new.
Let's talk about this sponsorship, okay? So you've extended the olive branch, and I have literally bitten the branch. I've made love to the branch. I'm very excited to partner up with you. Graham told me, look, behind the scenes, don't just say we'll be partners. Like, let's hear them out. Let's negotiate with them. But baby, Graham ain't here. So I'm going to say, we're in, we're fully in, whatever you want us to do, absolutely. But what were you envisioning? Like, what do you want?
Well, to be honest, it's in Carton, it's hard to get a sponsorship or any partnership because it's kind of not looked at something great. But as you guys mentioned before, interviewing the guy from Red Bull, but that
Patrick
people
Carton.
Start off. Yeah, exactly. Him, yeah, exactly. So people start off in karting and they get to F1. Okay, realistically, none of us are going to get to F1, but it's a great place to start off. And like, this is a big event. So it's unfortunate that companies don't see it really as much as maybe cars. But for us to have a partnership with you guys, it's like you guys are really liked working on Spin 103.8. It's such a great station. And like, it's for us to have a great partners to support us. Just saying, yeah, we like these guys, you know, support them in October. That, well, we hope it'll have companies looking at us like, okay, maybe they're nice guys. And, you know, we can chip in a few euro because realistically, we don't need a whole lot. It's not a very expensive event, but it's just, every little helps.
Yeah, you know. How long does the event last for?
So, I think it starts on a Saturday and ends Sunday, so it's actually quite short, but we'll be going there a few days early to hopefully do some practice. We actually don't really know the rules yet, but we're hoping to go basically as early as we can to do some practice. So, there will be days where we're kind of paying for a hotel or something, and it's just extra money. But
and did you just fall into this sport by go-karting at a young age and you just enjoyed it?
Yeah, exactly. Well, my dad and uncles raced cars, and I started off in karts, I think age 8. I raced for a few years. I won a national championship and done bits.
That's
and bobs
amazing.
But yeah, so but then recession kicked in, but it was actually a good thing because I started up my own little team and we went on to do endurance racing in France, England, and even in Ireland. There's a 24-hour race now. So if that recession hadn't come in, maybe I wouldn't have gone down this path and I wouldn't be here today. So,
and your father must be very proud.
No, he tells me to stop wasting my money.
How dare him? Get him to listen to this podcast, okay? I want that man to be proud.
I don't know. He would be proud a little bit, but yeah.
Shane, what was it like setting up this company? Talk about that.
Yeah, so ran out of money for karting. I ended up going into sim racing, which is basically like esports. And I only wanted really to make a few friends out of it and to win a virtual Le Mans 24 hours. I hadn't thought of maybe going karting in years to come, but that was like 11 years ago. And since then, we've done the Le Mans 24 hour kart race 5 or 6 times. And numerous other achievements. So it's been a great experience, and I've actually learned quite a lot, even though you get told, oh, you spent too much time on the computer, Shane. But I think I've learned quite a lot, which, useful skills for running a business and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That would look great on the CV. Did you go to college?
Yeah, but I didn't last too long.
What were you doing?
Multimedia, basically. So I liked doing the actual work, but I just couldn't pay attention in classes. So now I'm in construction.
Okay, so that's what you do. You juggle between the two, construction and carting.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say I get paid for carting or anything like
that. No, but it's a big part of your life.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's basically you get home from a hard day's work and you're on the bike or you're doing weights. It's constantly thinking ahead for the next race you're doing. So, yeah, pretty busy.
So would the dream be to actually compete in Formula One?
Myself, no, actually. I don't know. I think I knew it wasn't realistic from a young age. So one evening, flicking through the television, I seen an endurance race in America happening. And at that stage, I didn't know there was other races beyond F1. And this was a 12-hour race, and I watched the whole thing from start to finish. So since then, I've been hooked on like 24-hour racing, 12-hour racing. So I would love to do the actual Le Mans 24 hours, but it still, even though it's not Formula One, it still requires quite a lot of money. But maybe one day if I get lucky and win the Euro Million.
Now, Shane, I'm probably asking very stupid questions here, but I literally know very little about the sport. And when I say very little, I can barely spell the sport. I did watch Le Mans on Christmas Day, Matt Damon, Christian Bale, fantastic film. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I'd say for around 40 minutes, I fell asleep inside the fire. I ate a lot of food, but I woke up and I saw the ending, and it was a great film from what I saw. But I need you to explain to me how these endurance races work, because I'm just imagining you and your team, you're in your carts, you're going around lap after lap after lap. You're not stopping, you're hungry, you need to sleep, you're scared. How is it working? Is it tag team or are you all doing it together?
Yeah, so I'll explain the karting because it's a lot more simpler than the real life car racing.
Okay.
So the karting is quite simple. It's basically 4 hours straight and there's four drivers. So we'll only pit, but depending on the rules, I think in the rules, we can actually only go 45 minutes at a time. So we'll come into pit lane and someone will fill up the cart of fuel and we'll trundle down the pit lane where, for example, I'll jump out and then my teammate jumps in and off we go again. But it's okay. The 45 minute stints, they're actually quite short. We're used to doing like double that and the race being quite a bit longer, maybe 24 hours. So tiredness and hunger won't really kick in with this 4 hour race, thankfully.
Have you ever been to the south of France before?
I've been actually to Monaco for my 18th to watch the Formula One.
Oh,
which was,
what was that like?
Unbelievable. Just the experience of the noise and the vibrations and just being so close to the cars and the atmosphere. It was like my dad and myself and we look like, I don't know, just typical Irish people, burnt and like, and you're going around rubbing shoulders with these famous people and you don't fit in, but it's an amazing atmosphere. Definitely do it again.
Did you watch Drive to Survive?
I actually haven't finished the last season, but I know, I don't know why. I just
You're a busy
forgot.
Man, Shane. You don't have time. You're not like myself and Graham who literally come home at 10 in the morning. So look, you'll be excused. Talk about, because I found it really interesting when we chatted to Patrick Harding, who of course trains drivers for Red Bull, and just the sort of physical shape and the fitness you have to drive Formula One. Is it the same with karting? Do you have to really look after your body?
Yeah, for sure. It's similar, like when he explained about the weight, where you'd have to be under 80 kg, I believe, were also quite similar. Basically, if you're over a certain weight, you're just bringing more weight with you and it slows you down in the long run. So they get the balance of being light enough, but then having the neck muscle and the arm muscle to hold on, because, okay, maybe doing your typical rental cart, like 10 minute, 20 minute session isn't too bad. But when it's as high as level as this, and it's going for maybe 1 hour 30, and especially in the south of France where we're guaranteed hot conditions, it is so tiring. So yeah, even though it's not Formula One, we are doing our training from on the bike or running to weights and neck exercises. So yeah, it's a lot of dedication.
Who would be your driving hero? Would there be someone in the karting world who is like Cristiano Ronaldo, who's just amazing, or would it be a Formula One driver?
It's a good question. I guess in karting, I'd go for Kimi Antonelli. He's a young Italian driver. He's fantastic. But then in Formula One, Fernando Alonso. I supported him since I was a kid, so he's aggressive and I just like his style. So definitely them two for sure.
Have you ever been injured? Have you ever crashed during a race?
Oh yeah, I think it was in 2018. I hadn't raced in a while. Decided to do this race, which was actually 2 weeks before Le Mans 24-hour kart race. So I was thinking, just do this race to keep fit and keep sharp. I ended up flipping at about 60 miles per hour.
Oh God.
lucky not to break anything. Damaged my helmet, that was it. So, but it could have been a lot worse. I've seen people break collarbones and ribs, so I got away quite lightly.
And when you do something like that, are you really nervous the next time? Or are you kind of, you have to just mentally prepare yourself that these things can happen?
I don't know. I was just having this conversation with Paul. I was just saying, like, I don't think people in motorsport are mentally right, because you just, we could die. It's, even though it's karting, like if I flipped badly and landed on my neck, that's me gone. But yet again, I go to France 2 weeks later and it just doesn't come across my mind. It's all you care about and you're worried about is your speed. So I don't know. We're just not really right in the head.
Well, you're clearly like adrenaline junkies. Do you love roller coasters? Would you climb mountains? Do you love all that sort of stuff?
Weirdly, no. I don't like roller coasters. I'd like to climb mountains, maybe. Well,
and I'd like to join you up there, Shane, because I tell you something, we're bonding.
Yeah, I'm loving this conversation.
Shane, you're a sweet man. Where are you from?
Meath, so Summerhill.
My very first girlfriend, she was from Meath, Dunshaughlin. She lived in Dunshaughlin. Are you near there?
Yeah, I actually was working there for 3 years not too long ago.
Ah, I went to the nightclub. Was it the Vortex?
I believe so, yeah.
Thought I was going to get my face kicked in. Good Jesus. Lord. No.
Not your beautiful face.
Shane, not my beautiful face, okay? I can't make my nose any more bent. I was wearing a leopard shirt, the Harry Styles Cuban heel boots. It was a weird look at the time, and thankfully no one went near me, but when I did go to the bathroom, you could see people were staring at me, and they weren't staring, licking their lips, thinking, yes, please. They were looking at me as if they wanted to shove their foot right up my rectum.
Jeez, that's a shock to the system.
It's a shock to the system. It's an image that I've painted for you, Shane, but I'm feeling comfortable in your presence that I am willing to tell you these anecdotes. Now,
right, you can dress up however you like around me and Paul and whoever else.
Yes, well, I may take you up on that offer. Now, Shane, you did also say in your email that you went to Poland. Can you speak about your trip?
Yeah, so this all started off with, you know, it was early morning listening to you and Graham, and you brought up Poland, and I've always wanted to go Poland. Don't know why, just looks really nice. So you were on about going to it, but you were a bit afraid, and yeah, everyone started texting in like, oh, it's a fantastic place. So literally I messaged Paul and another mate, and I was like, we're going to England, or not England, Poland. So I looked up dates, and there was like 2-3 really cheap flights. So literally, while I was driving my digger, booked the flights. That was it. So then a few weeks later, turns out you were going on a break. And I was like, oh, I wonder why. Turns out we were both going to Poland in the same location, same weekend. I think I was maybe a day later than you, but it was quite funny that I was quite close. Have actually seen you. I seen someone quite tall, and I was thinking, maybe that's Nathan.
I don't know if it was you. But he's completely naked underneath the bridge. That is him looking for a way out of this podcast. Shane, was it Wroclaw? Is that where you went to?
Yeah.
What did you think of it?
I actually thought it was great. Now, the weather wasn't super, but... Yeah. The food, like you mentioned in the podcast, it was so cheap.
And oh my God. Yeah.
Unreal. Like, we felt like millionaires, and which was kind of a bad thing because we kept buying drink and it was horrible. But
where did you go? Did you go to a few pubs? Was there a nightclub?
To be honest, I don't remember a whole lot. There was a cocktail bar you mentioned. That sounded like the place we went to, which was kind of where it all started to go fairly wrong for me.
It was a great trip. I'm a huge fan of Poland. And the people, the Polish people, are beautiful. Oh, my God.
Amazing.
Compared to us, Shane, we look like we belong in cages.
Yeah, the boys kind of went over well. Only myself and Paul thinking, maybe we have a chance. And then we go over there. It's like, oh, we have no chance.
So how do you know, Paul? Is it just through the karting?
Yeah, basically. Well, it was first the online racing we do. I found out he'd done it and invited him into my team. And then he wanted to go karting. So I ended up being his driver, coach, mechanic. And yeah, just became basically best mates since then.
If you went go-karting just with friends, where it's as if it's a party or something, and you witnessed someone go-karting who was really good but had no sort of background in it, would you be scouting people to join your team?
Yeah, for sure. Like it's helpful for us to get more people involved, because people, if they look at karting, they only see the expensive side, where I've introduced people into the endurance kind of karting, which is a lot cheaper, a lot more friendly. So yeah, definitely, if I seen people that were quick, I definitely get in contact with them.
Is it a friendly atmosphere? Because from watching Drive to Survive, like I'm thinking of, you know, even Lewis Hamilton, and is it Bottas? Just the way there's two drivers on each team, but they kind of all hate each other because they're trying to be the best driver. There's such a competitive edge to the sport. When you play, is it everyone sort of looking out for one another?
So in the endurance side, yeah, everyone's quite friendly and you'll work together, and it's a lot more relaxed atmosphere. Even though we all want to win, it's just a bit more relaxed, where if it's the karting, that's kind of like Formula One, where it's everyone for themselves, it's a lot more aggressive. There wouldn't be as many friendly people, maybe. You'd be friends with the people within your team, but outside your team, it's a bit more aggressive. And so you have two sides of it, really. But I prefer the endurance.
Have you gone up against Paul before in a sort of individual race, and has it been competitive?
Yeah, I've done it maybe 3 or 4 times, and I've beaten him once, I think. And then the other time we were in England, I may have crashed, which helped him beat me. But yeah, we're fairly even.
God, I'd love to get stickers on the car or something. Do you think that would be feasible? What are we thinking, Shane?
Oh, for sure. Like, we want to look the business going over. So we'll have t-shirts and we'll have our social media pages, and definitely we'll put stickers on the carts if it's not against rules, because there's so many rules, I don't know. It's confusing. But
and
if
Shane,
it's allowed, I'll do it.
If it's against the rules, I want you to say, this sticker has to be on the car, and if not, Paul, grab your bag. We're getting out of here.
Yeah, I'll definitely argue that one.
In terms of construction, what you're working at, is it a family business?
Yeah. So I've been working with the family for, I don't know, God knows how long, but basically do groundworks.
So what does that consist of?
Digging holes, doing roads, footpaths, pipe work, basically along them lines.
You must be a real handyman. Can you fix car engines?
No, actually, I'm not very good with my hands. Well, with cars, I could set up and give advice, but like to actually fix something, I'm not that great.
Shane, my man, I'm picturing you as Ryan Gosling in Drive. You look the business, you wear a scorpion jacket, you get behind the wheel, then you wear a white t-shirt, you get that dirty and you start fixing cars. Would I be correct?
I could, you know, play that role, but being realistic, I'd be breaking the car, but...
I want
but if
you,
it looks good.
I want you to have also befriended Bryan Cranston, who walks with a limp.
Ah, that's easy. No problem.
You just need to grab a stick and hit him in the knee. Was it difficult leaving college? So I'm assuming you didn't get a degree.
No, I didn't. I done a PLC. I completed that. I done 2 years down in Limerick. But then, yeah, I went to college in Blanche and just... Yeah, I didn't mind it too much in a way because I knew I had family business to back me up. So there wasn't any pressure really. But in the long run, I kind of wish I could focus in class. But yeah.
Do you think the family business is something you will fall back on in the future? Or would you love to, even if you're not driving in the future, working behind the scenes? Would that interest you?
I'm not sure really what I want to do. Like I'm 26 or something, so I kind of need to make up my mind soon. Realistically, I'd love to do motorsport photography, but there's no money to be made in Ireland at it, unfortunately, so maybe I'd have to move to England, but it's also a very tough job. And so yeah, maybe I'd like to work in the media in the motorsport industry somehow, but it's a little bit difficult without the qualifications.
That's interesting. You're into photography.
Yeah, so I started it, a good few years ago, just bringing a camera to races. I, if I'm not racing, I used to travel quite a bit to watch racing because with the online stuff I do, I've made friends in Belgium and France. So usually someone's going to a race, so I'll jump in the car with them and do a bit of photography. So I've been like decent enough, but it's just unfortunate that in Ireland, no one's really willing to pay decent money, so I don't really make much.
Would you take a picture of the cars when you're in someone's car while they're driving, or would it be at the side when they're going by?
Oh no, definitely at the track side. So if I'm not racing myself, like karts or something, which I haven't done a lot really recently, I've actually done more photography than racing, but yeah, just on the sides.
What sort of camera do you have?
It's a Canon 250D, I think it is. Not in high range. I said I wouldn't spend crazy money until I start making money at it, but I definitely need an upgrade soon.
I remember I bought a camera. So Graham and I, we studied film and broadcasting in DIT. We did a photography course, so we had to buy a camera, and I went into some Canon shop on Grafton Street with my dad, and I ended up picking up this big chunky Canon camera that I haven't a clue what it was. I think something like a 569D or something. I was like, yeah, all right, that will do. It was around €300. Now, it was actually pricey enough, but I was told, what excited me about the camera, Shane, was I was told by the guy that this was secondhand and the original owner was an architect from New York. I was like, oh, wow. Jesus, oh, I like this. There's a real allure to this camera. But man, it's one of those things. I don't know. Did you get classes before using the camera?
They do offer you classes, but I've done a little bit in college. But to be honest, I actually didn't learn a whole lot in college. It's just going out there with the camera, messing with the settings. It becomes second nature after a while. You don't really think of what you're doing.
It didn't come second nature to me, Shaney boy. I was walking around with this massive chunky camera. It was actually weighing my neck down. I would be changing shutter speeds. I was trying to get a sexy bit of depth of field. It just wasn't really working for me. Do you know sometimes you change the shutter speed and you'd press the button to take the picture on top of the camera and I would hold down my finger and then it would click and nothing would happen. And then like 8 seconds later, it would click again and the photograph would have been captured. But it looked as if I had just taken mushrooms. Like the picture looked odd.
I know what you mean. Yeah, I struggled with all that.
What the hell's going on there?
Yeah, so basically you had to hire the shutter speed, but that'd be ideal for the night, basically. But
okay. Yeah, was very much the day. If you were going on a date, would you say in the first date all about the carding and about the photography?
Yeah, I suppose I would, because that sounds better than I work in construction. So.
I don't know. I'm excited about both of them.
No, I found once I mentioned construction, it's like, so I try mention photography and traveling around the world, maybe doing some karting. That sounds a bit better. So then later down the line, if it goes that far, which it usually doesn't, then I might slip in. I work for the family, but...
Yeah. Would you live abroad?
I did always want to move to England. And I don't know why. I think it's a great country for motorsport. There's a lot more chances. And it's the same with America, but I don't know. Like, again, older, I see more things happening. America scares me. You know, especially with Trump that was there, you know, that's kind of like put me off a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, just I lost the desire to move abroad, really. So I'm kind of happy here.
I know what you mean. I think everyone kind of has that itching feeling to go abroad for a stage. And the job that myself and Graham do on the radio, it kind of never allowed us to go abroad because it's that sort of industry where you're in it and you better be happy you're in it, because there's other people that want to get involved. And it's not like you can take a sabbatical and come back a year later and, you know, I saw some things and I have a great tan. Can I have my job? And you just won't have it. So I used to always pine to move to New York or Australia because a lot of my friends did that. But I think you do reach an age where, as long as you can do the 2 weeks away on holidays, that's kind of more than enough, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you need to be young and still a bit crazy to actually go abroad, especially Australia, the other part of the world.
Oh,
like, that's crazy. I wouldn't have the balls to do that. No way.
Yeah, it's also because I did visit Australia for 3 months. I found it sort of depressing where you'd FaceTime your friends back home. And I'm definitely getting it the wrong way around, but if it's your morning time, it's their evening time, and you're just like, are we living in a completely different world? What is going on here? I miss you. Hold my waist.
Yeah, I miss people holding my waist like a home. But I just couldn't, especially with the heat we have here now. It's like, God, this is probably cool enough to the Australians. So imagine being over there. Oh, I couldn't.
How are we dealing with the heat, Shane?
Oh, bad.
Yeah, I'm sweating profusely right now. How are you sleeping in it?
Not great either. So like, I'll leave my window open during the evening and I'm usually on the PC. So that's making my room hot, but I have the window open, but that brings like spiders in and bugs. So when I turn off the light, they're flying everywhere, keeping me up with the heat. And it's like, it just doesn't end.
What is the place like where you live? Are you with your parents? Or are you living by yourself?
No, I'm still with parents. I keep spending too much money on racing to move out.
So. Damn right. Get your priorities right. That's correct. I like that. Have you moved out before?
Yeah, so in Limerick, I moved out. I missed the freedom in a way, but at the same time, I don't do a whole lot different to what I'd done then, which is basically live in my room to now where I live in my room. So it's nothing different, really.
Yeah, that's something I'm kind of, I wouldn't say worried, nervous, excited. I'm going to be moving back in with the parents in October because myself and Becca want to sort of save potentially for a gaff. But let's be honest, the housing market is a bit of a shit show at the moment. So I'll probably just save a bit. And then if we can't find anything, we'll rent. But moving back in with the parents, I want to get the correct mindset, Shane. I know I will find them irritable at times because they're both retired and they're a bit restless. But I just have to be like, you know what? Let's just enjoy this time. This could be the last time I ever get to live at home with the parents. So I might as well not fight it, Shane.
Yeah, it's a tough one. It's at first, you kind of don't mind because, well, for me, you know, I'll have a dinner cooked or something when I get home. Yeah. It's like, oh, happy days. But then, yeah, there is times where you would like a bit of quiet time or something.
You're just screaming at your father, lights out. He's playing Game Boy or something at 3 a.m. You're an animal. Go to bed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, God. Well, look, I've really enjoyed getting to know you. We'll definitely get you on again with Graham. And sure, we can also chat to your team. So it's Paul and who's the other? It's a girl, isn't it? Aoife, okay. And are you on the hunt to get someone else on the team?
We kind of have one more driver there. It's just to be 100% confirmed, but okay. We're hoping it's that person.
Well, look, I can proudly say we will be partners. We will try and do everything. We'll, of course, put stuff on the gram. I will put up Instagrams. You're following us, are you? What's your Instagram handle? Listeners to this podcast, I want them to start following. Do you want yourself personally or is there your company on Instagram? What do you want?
I may as well plug myself because yeah. I've very little followers.
Oh, I saw Paul Morgan 1. Is that your friend Paul?
Yeah, that's probably him.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm going to follow him back. There you go. Paul Morgan. Well, Paul _ Morgan 1 is your sidekick who's single. I'm reading his bio. My social life up, my real life down. Oh, I like this guy.
Yeah, so that's him. And then there's myself, Shane Burke 17.
Shane Burke 17. Let me find you there. Okay. And who else?
Aoife Amelia. It's just all one word, I think.
Okay. Irish Carter, photographer, proud owner of Simtech Motorsport and Burke Motorsport PR. Man, this sounds great.
Yeah, if only they made me some money, it'd be even better.
But money's overrated, man. Look, I'll let you go. I want to say it's been an absolute delight to chat to you. This is the start of something beautiful. Stay in touch with us. I have you on Twitter and Instagram, but message me anything else. If you want to come on again, we'll definitely get you on. But if there's a big race beforehand that you want to have a chat about, then just let us know. All right, brother. It's great to have you on board.
Oh, thank you so much. And thanks to Graham as well. Like,
he did nothing.
Fantastic.
Fuck Graham.
Yeah, it's all you. Yeah. No, thank you so much.
You're very sweet. No worries at all, Shane. Okay. Have a great evening. And sure, look, we'll let Papa Roach do the rest. All right, brother.
All right. Thanks a million.
Take care. See ya.
Cut my life into pieces. This is my last reason.